Look up there in the sky. It's a bird, a plane. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
Those boys are so handsome.
One artist,
one weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Dorman, the literature geek and writer.
And I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more.
Got a little weird there at the end.
Well, you were starting to slow down yours, so I started to slow down mine.
You're leaning it back, taking it easy there. I figured this is a very relaxed episode.
Sitting down on the porch, you know.
We are front porch trained.
Drinking my Rockstar Pure Zero calorie punch, zero sugar energy drink, 240 milligrams of caffeine. No juice.
Absolutely
no juice allowed.
We know that it contains no juice.
Eric's drinking MODOK right now.
I am. I have a big healthy glass of MODOK.
That's coffee.
Mechanized organism designed only for coffee.
For coffee. It's from Starbucks.
It's in a giant MODOK.
Their cup exploded.
Yeah, so I'm a do not buy on cups from Starbucks.
Yeah.
But I'm a definite buy on the substance that I am probably addicted to.
Bye. Bye, caffeine.
Solid buy.
Lots of
caffeine.
It.
Caffeine's pretty good.
All the time. But, yeah, folks, Eric and I are in the same room again.
We're in Cat House Studios.
Cat House Studios or Ghost Butt Studios.
I don't know where Butt Ghost is. Butt I haven't Ghost. Seen Butt Ghost in a while.
It's hidden away.
That'll take you back to about a year ago.
That's a deep cut.
Butt Ghost is always a deep cut.
That's awful. That's terrible.
Hey, man. I'm just repeating what you say.
I didn't swear. What do you mean repeating what I say?
Hey, man.
I did not say.
You're even the one that brought up Butt Ghost. I was going to leave it alone. I was gonna let your house be retitled Total Cat House.
It's not necessarily any better.
It's accurate.
House Cat Studios is better.
I like Total Cat House.
Okay.
House cat.
I don't want to be a cat house. This is not a house of ill repute.
It is kind of a cat house.
You do not give up services like that for money.
Is that what you mean?
That's what a cat house is.
Okay. You say so.
It is.
But as a house full of cats like this one.
No.
We're lucky we're not being attacked by cats.
We'll be up here about halfway through.
Yeah.
That's their way. They filter in.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Cat battles.
Cat updates.
Cup dates. For short.
For short. Cup dates.
A little shorter.
Yeah, a little shorter and totally nonsensical.
That's what you aim for.
Cute is what we aim for.
That's what I'm drinking out of a MODOK cup.
Yeah. But anyway, folks, I think we've dicked around enough.
We've hit our quota.
We talked about cat houses and house cats. So it's time for checking in! You have to say it like that.
If you don't, I mean, I believe Osama bin Laden personally wins.
He's dead, though. From beyond the grave?
I'm pretty sure I read this in the Necronomicon. If he keeps winning, he'll come back.
Is that just you keep accruing victories, and then eventually it raises you back from the dead?
Yeah, that's why
Will he just be a skeleton?
It's hard to tell.
I think he will be by that time.
You know, I haven't really read the Quran as closely as I should have.
But you said Necronomicon.
Well, he's Muslim, so the Quran is really what applies to him.
Oh, is it? We're not really getting to check in, are we?
No.
Checking in is a part of the show where Eric and I talk about what we've been up to this week. But what we've been up to this week is going to Florida SuperCon.
Florida SuperCon.
And not disparaging Islamic people.
Hey, man, you just need to not let me talk.
But yeah, we went to SuperCon. It was running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Today
it was on 4th of July.
4th of July.
Yeah, I dressed up for the occasion, and Robbie made fun of me all day.
I didn't make fun of you.
You did.
I was complimenting you, honestly, and you just took it as an insult.
That's a compliment, huh?
Saying that you're the only one audacious enough to wear red pants? Yes.
I pointed many flaws in that statement.
I know, you said, no, I'm not the only one audacious enough. I am not a unique snowflake. Well, I am one of many.
It's a comic book convention. There are hundreds of people dressed like Deadpool.
There was an entire cadre of Deadpool / Spideys.
I would say coven.
Considering the books we read this week, I guess that's appropriate.
I guess so.
I don't know.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
There's no Deadpools or Spider-Men in that book, though.
No Spider-Mans.
No Spider-Mans, no Deadpools, thankfully.
Yeah, it would not really enhance it.
It used to be charming when people dressed up as Deadpool and did wacky things.
Yeah.
It is not charming anymore. Not especially not when there's 20 of them together.
It's not clever anymore.
Wow, you bought a Deadpool costume. You're skinny and you wear a Deadpool costume and you just dance around and be wacky. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Everyone else is doing the same thing. It's not funny anymore. Please.
Now we're old men complaining about cons.
I guess so.
I love it.
I didn't mind Deadpools, but now everyone's Deadpool.
Man, there's plenty of them.
Maybe the problem is I don't like wacky Deadpool. In the first place, I don't like wacky Deadpool.
Did you see X-Force Deadpool at the con?
I did not see X-Force Deadpool.
I was impressed.
Was he wacky?
He was Deadpool-ish. But he was X-Force Deadpool.
Yeah, I have seen them before at cons. I didn't see him at
any other cosplay jump out at you, other than complaining about Deadpool.
Not really.
Not really.
No, I didn't. Nothing spectacular.
We only went 2 days. We didn't go for the big day because we had to go look at Japan.
Well, we had to not be compressed and not be able to breathe and sweat all over other people.
I love those things. Those are my favorite things.
I don't like those things. You could have gone on Saturday. You have a car.
I have to walk.
You have a car here.
That's us arguing.
No, but this year is the first year that the SuperCon has been at the Miami Beach Convention Center. It used to be at the Miami Airport Convention Center, which is a hotel, and it's not a very large space.
It's a much better space for a con.
The convention center at the beach is much better.
Yeah, you can tell it's certainly grown. It feels a little bit less podunk.
Which I think is just as important.
It is. It absolutely is. I want to keep coming back and seeing how it develops. So I think it was better than last year.
It was much better than last year.
Trends will continue.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
More guests, more vendors, more exhibitors, more much better, higher quality of artists in general.
Yeah, I was very happy about that. I was very pleased. Met a lot of cool people. Good times.
Yeah, it was very nice. Last year I was kind of underwhelmed by, I think the problem was that there was not much space.
Mm-hmm.
And so they only took in a very limited amount of artists who were also in a very small space.
Yeah.
And this time they have quite a wide variety of very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly came home with a lot more art than I did last year.
I have a pretty fair amount myself. You want to, seems like a good enough segue. You want to talk about that now? I have a whole list of people I want to sort of give a shout out to.
Go ahead. Rep.
These are just people, some that I just had conversations with and some that I bought some prints with. Do you remember any of the ones you talked to?
No, but I'm most of the ones.
You'll probably, we'll there'll be some certain overlap, or specifically the one that I know you were just gaga over was, her name was Andrea Flutie.
Yes.
She did these really impressive collages that she was selling originals that I think you did buy a print.
I bought a print of Mary Jane.
It was...
because I could not afford the original.
Well, I mean...
I understand why it's...
Oh, no. I'm sure you're not arguing against that. Clearly, she's putting in, she said on average 100 hours, and it really looks like it when you think about what she's doing and the materials that she's using. I mean, she's cutting up old vintage comic books. She's actually using comics that are conceptual to what she's, and redrawing out of collage, basically, the original panels.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly impressive. It is, they're all really handsome works of art. There were other people at the con that were trying to do similar things,
mm-hmm.
but
not nearly.
You know,
as good.
No, in my opinion, it was nowhere near as nice. It was unique, and it was clearly so difficult that no one else in their right mind was doing it. The part that impressed me the most is when she said she's not doing the blacks, she's not doing the line work with Sharpie or something.
Yeah, she's...
she was cutting out heavy blacks out of books and using that to draw with.
Yes.
That's bananas.
Yeah, it's, and it's, it, the texture was the thing. Like,
mm-hmm. That was a gorgeous texture.
Yeah, it, the, I mean, there's lots of really good ones. There was Jack Kirby Thor and Cap, which I would like,
mm-hmm.
but the one that really stood out to me, and probably because it's like a very iconic scene, and
oh, yeah.
I always was a Mary Jane man myself. Is Peter, when Peter Parker, the famous, you know, you've hit the tire, you've hit the jackpot tiger, and mm-hmm. all that stuff. Yeah,
I think that that was like, I mean, it's sort of a dead spot in the composition is the big black of her shirt, but I think that's actually one of the most interesting parts of the image. You know, she's collaging it out of so many different pieces of black,
and there's the all the background is mm-hmm. is all letter. It was all from the letter.
Yeah.
The letter section at the end. It's all.
Oh, it was letter section. It wasn't yeah. just.
It, well, it was just, in credits. Like, it's like, you know, the credit, little tiny credit mm-hmm. blocks, plus the letter section at the end of the book. All just, that's all that was all yeah. together. It was very captivating visually.
It's had really pretty brilliant.
And she's a comics fan herself, so I was.
No, she's.
I talked to comics with her.
She's an A+ nerd. I like her.
Yeah.
Another guy. Did you, you guys bought a print from Brian Reedy and what are they called? Attack the Planet. How fucking cool is that? But they're sort of nerdy printmakers, so naturally every time I see them, I stop and talk to them. It was great. You bought, what did you buy?
No, Kim bought a kaiju.
Wait, who's Kim?
Kim is our fourth cat.
Okay.
I took her on a leash.
Okay, neat. So she's got a little bank account, little kitty bank account.
She does work on the side.
She does work on, she's a freelance cat.
Art projects. She bought a kaiju print for her sister. Print
for her sister.
Yeah.
Is her sister also a cat?
No.
Okay, that's weird. It's amazing how nature works.
I try not to judge things.
It's none of my business.
Exactly.
I don't go there. But yeah, I bought a Rocketeer print, which I feel good about. I do wish that I had been smart enough to get that Castle Grayskull when it was up there, but I feel pretty good about the Rocketeer. I feel like that's got a good place in my heart.
Fortune favors the bold.
Well, you know what else favors the bold?
Captain Morgan?
Sure.
I think that's, isn't that, you have bold in there thing or
something? I don't know what to talk. I don't know.
Really don't want Captain Morgan that much.
I don't even know that I've ever had it.
Really? You never had a Captain Morgan?
No.
It's rum. You've had rum? It's rum.
It'll get you fucked up.
Yeah, it's like very... It's rummy.
Yeah, Brian Reedy.
Yeah, that was definitely...
Top shelf dude.
Yeah.
Top shelf dude. I really love his Attack on Titan stuff.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Well, it fits very in. Cool. It fits in thematically.
It really does. I mean, it's just... It's all very interesting conceptually.
Yeah.
It's good work. He's quite an artist, and I'm happy to keep meeting him. Did you manage to meet Abraham Lopez?
I don't think so.
I'll have to show you his book. He there's a famous viral image that was going around of He-Man and She-Ra, and they're in costumes.
I bought the Haunted Mansion print, Arkham Haunted Mansion, which basically has all the Arkham villains
mm-hmm.
in the that. Shot, if you've ever been in the Haunted Mansion in Disney World or Disneyland, where you're in the elevator that's extending and you see all these posters where these characters are, they're shown that they're actually in precarious situations, probably about to die.
Yes.
And now instead of that, it has the Arkham, all the Batman's Rogues Gallery.
It's pretty sweet.
It's a nice piece of work.
I couldn't choose any particular of his drawings that I wanted, so I bought his art book and felt really great about it. And for some reason, he was really excited to sell it to me and did a little drawing for me.
That's cool.
And like shook my hand twice. But he was a very cool guy, and I really like his work a lot. And we'd be remiss not to mention Dave, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Did you buy? You bought any print from Dave, didn't you?
No, I did not. Kim did.
Kim did. Okay.
We are looking at one that's hanging on my wall.
Yes. Total cool sauce.
Very nice guy.
Nice guy. Hot Damn Arts.
Correct.
I bought 3 prints from him, and he gave me one for free, which... good on him. I don't know why he's so charmed by me. But no, thank you, Dave. It was definite good times. But man, we talked about some art and screen printing, and his work is pretty exciting. I enjoy it quite a lot. Anything that's, I guess, very drawn to the actual printers.
Yes. You know?
Of course, he's not printing this stuff himself. He does have a printer for it. And I think I'm going to hit him up when I get the chance and get that information, because it's exciting to see like someone actually doing real printing. It's not just coming off of an inkjet or from Kinko's. Meta, real briefly, did you meet Simon? You were talking to someone else. You were talking to the person that was making those really cool little action figure sculptures out of little metal.
I didn't talk to that person.
You didn't?
They were never at the booth.
It seemed like you were at that booth for a while.
Well, I was looking at the little figures. They're really neat.
They were great little sculptures, but I was talking to, what's his name? Simon St. Cyr.
Yes, who's was it Joe Bananas?
Yeah, it was
that's
Joe
his,
Bananas,
that's
wasn't
his
it?
Brand.
With a Z.
Yes, I really did it. I like that group.
Yeah.
That group / is the dude's name.
I forgot about that. It was Groot painting Bob Ross. Or
Bob,
it was
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross Groot.
Bob Ross Groot.
No, it was...
Happy Trees.
I laughed pretty heartily at that.
That's a good mashup.
Yeah.
It worked.
It worked really well. He was very, very talented. I loved his cartoons. And I bought a Medusa, an actual drawing. It was not a print.
Right.
It was a drawing. And he was selling it for a very reasonable amount. And I thought he was a great guy. He was fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Pretty brief exchange, but nice guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great, great artist. Well, there were a couple of other people. I bought that from Sasha Yost. Do you remember her? She had, she said her older work was
right.
The J-Rockers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of adorable. I went to college with someone that was very obsessed with all that business.
She was just trying to... She was like, I moved on to this stuff.
Yeah. Her newer work was considerably better.
It was very good.
It reminds me of some stuff I did when I was in college, but it's very, very strong, like skeletal themes in it and some stippling and wacky stuff. I think there's like lips in it. I don't know. It was a nice illustration, and it has gold marker on it.
It does. It's gold.
Sasha Yoss. Yeah, that was nice. There's also a pair of another pair of girl illustrators that one was there and the other one was off doing whatever. The one that was off doing whatever is the only one that I could look up. Her name was Danielle Otra. Otrakji. That's hard to say.
Let's do your best.
You do your best. It's Chrysalopoulos.
Chrysalopoulos?
Yeah.
What are we pointing out?
Right there.
Danielle Otrakji.
Otrakji. I don't know, man.
That's whatever. That's anyway, the best we can do.
I was able to look her up, and I'm pretty sure that that's who this person is.
Yeah.
And
I remember, yeah.
I seem to remember, her banner.
Yes.
I found that online. Have a really nice print from her of some goofy D&D stuff.
Yes.
And her compatriot, I don't know. I have no idea what her name is. It does not seem to be listed in the book. So I don't know what. She's just dead to me.
Except that you bought something from her because you liked it.
No, I did. No, she had a very nice style. She was a Ringling graduate. And she was fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. So
guys called, it was Goth Elf? Goth Elf Brothers Studios. I would say that's how you pronounce that. But it's just a couple of brothers who make pixel art.
I think...
plus other things.
Yeah. Well, there was a lassie there.
There was a lady there. I don't know what her she's a friend or relative, but she also does pixel art with them. It was very 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 good pixel art. It's painted. Mm-hmm. I think that's what set it apart.
Yeah, they were expert craftsmen on it for sure. That was the impressive thing, is you don't realize you're across the aisle from them or something looking at it. And you think that it is just, I just took a piece of pixel art and printed it out huge. But then you walk up to it and you're like, this is an acrylic painting. They drew out a grid. They painted perfect squares. And, I mean, there was really no breakdown in craft. They were meticulous about it. And considering the amount of time they were clearly spending on it, they were selling it for dirt cheap.
Yeah, it was very good prices.
Yeah.
And they were, we picked up a Fallout painting, and I got two Tetris. They also have little wood block sculptures, as you would call them.
Mm-hmm.
Two keychains that were like Tetris pieces, and I'm going to give one of those to my mother, because my mother is an OG Tetris
OG.
Master.
OG.
She's much better than I am. And we got, I got a Bomb-Om sculpture, which is very neat, very cool. So I like, not often you get sculptures, like, you know, there's tons of prints, tons of paintings and things like that available. Not a lot of, like,
physical objects. Not a lot of three-dimensional stuff.
Yeah, which is, I like, and then it was, for that, for amount of work it probably took, it was very, very affordably priced. I talked to Nick Bradshaw.
Nick Bradshaw, huh?
Yeah, he's currently an artist working on Guardians of the Galaxy, and he did Wolverine and X-Men for a very long time. It was one of the reasons it's such a good book. Really a fun book. And he was a really nice guy to talk to. Really, I looked at his portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had more money. I would have gotten him had a commission by him. But unfortunately, there are limits.
I didn't talk to too many, like, pros, you know, comic book
he
pros.
He was the only, I think the only one I actually stopped by and said hello to. Because he's the only one I'm, you know. I mean, I can respect the talent of most of these guys. It's just I wouldn't have much to say to them.
Yeah. I had some conversations, and a lot of them were kind of limited. Do you want me to talk about it real quick, or
just push past it? One. If there's anything notable,
I won't say too much. But
okay.
I did have a nice conversation with Jeremy Hahn.
Yeah.
Mostly about jet pens.
Okay.
I don't know. Long conversation with him and his girlfriend about buying pens from Japan and Copics.
Yes.
And I don't know. Interesting people. We saw Mervin McCoy again.
Yeah,
he were there when I said hi to him.
Yeah, we were across the aisle from him at MegaCon.
Spoke to Bob McLeod briefly. And we talked to Steve McNiven.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't...
The McNiven. I can't imagine what McNiven's rates are. Probably very expensive.
But I couldn't even... I don't know. I couldn't think of anything interesting to say to Steve McNiven.
Other than, you're amazing. You're great.
I'm not going to give anyone a slob job like that in front of him.
Oh, that's what
I mean, unless... It depends. I have done it. I definitely did it to Gary Gianni.
That's what I... Whenever I... If I know an artist enough to know, like, to go say hello to him...
Yeah.
That means I really like them. And I'll tell them that I really like them. I think they do very good work.
Mm.
I think it's just an honest compliment.
I think so. But, yep.
I think that's a good rundown on SuperCon. Really, it was a lot of fun. I'm glad it's grown, and I'm glad it's gonna hopefully continues to grow. I hope they did well enough to they didn't try and outpace their growth and spend too much money on that.
Yeah.
On the convention center, but
it did seem a little on the empty side.
There's a couple. Well, I think most of the vendors, all the vendors area, that's all full. I don't think there's any of them are empty. The artist alley is a few empty tables. They're growing. So
yeah.
I think it's better that they had the extra space that they could fit a lot more people than the opposite, which is last year when they probably had to snub a lot of people just because they didn't have the space for it.
I guess so. They had booths in the stairwells.
Yes, they did.
It's not the best.
No, it's not the best. But yeah. SuperCon. Bye.
Go back in time and go back in time.
Yep. But with that, I think it's time for the floppiest part of the week. You know what time it is, right?
Well, maybe it's the floppiest part of your week.
It's time for weekly floppies.
You're right. It is the floppiest part of my week.
As part of the show, when Eric and I read the week's books, selection of them,
mm-hmm.
tell you to buy or do not buy them. And you should listen to us. So we have good taste. We're knowledgeable men.
Coincidentally, we do not taste good.
I wouldn't know. I've never tasted myself.
Well, many cannibals have told me I'm disgusting.
It's good to know. It's good information. I'm glad we have that information.
Yeah, it's good. Good discussion.
Yeah, so this week we're starting off with DC and Superman Unchained, number 7. Yeah, written by Scott Snyder, penciled by Jim Lee. Scott Williams doing the inks, Alex Sinclair doing the colors, and Sal Cipriano on the letters.
This is like my nightmare scenario.
Why is that?
Of comic book talent. It's not the worst thing I've ever read, but I certainly can't care for it.
It's the basic plot is that Superman and Lois Lane are in the Fortress of Solitude, and it's under siege by Lois Lane's father, who has a armada of apparently kryptonite armaments with him that can kill Superman. Well, Wraith, who is basically like this government.
He's a
government-issued Superman.
Yeah, who kind of looks like Darkseid.
Looks a little bit like Darkseid. Is in the Batcave fighting Bruce Wayne, and then...
And
Wonder Woman.
Yes, also Wonder Woman.
And Superman goes... He gets Angela armor. Jim Lee got some armor from Todd McFarlane.
I was going to say it's like from World of Warcraft.
That too. It does look like that.
Some WoW armor.
Yeah, and Superman's got armored up, and I don't know. It's not bad.
It's, I don't know.
They use lots of all this crap in the Batcave to hit people with.
Yeah.
All the, you would think that Batman wouldn't want to destroy every single of his $1 million machines.
Yes. Well, they're insured, don't you know?
How the hell do you insure a Batmobile?
Yeah, no fucking shit. You're like a secret ninja. And you're going to take out an insurance policy. How are you going to make that claim? Like all of my secret ninja tanks
got blown up. So I'd like to...
Flo's really got to help him out on that.
I guess so. But it ends with, you know, Superman breaking into the party in the Batcave, going to fight Wraith. I guess the next issue is going to be the big... final showdown between Wraith and Superman about their ideological differences. They'll solve by punching.
So, clearly, yes, that is how you solve everything. How obvious was it that Wraith was going to be the bad guy?
I don't think it was ever. I think they tried to make it obvious that, like, by saying, like, one of the issues of your Wraith is, like, we're going to end up fighting or something, or, you know, we're going to be at point. But still, Batman and Wonder Woman are in this? Is every book that has Superman in it also has to have Batman and Wonder Woman in it as well?
They gotta make him interesting, I guess. They're the salt and pepper.
Wonder Woman and Batman are salt and pepper?
Yeah. Superman.
Superman's potatoes.
He's something that's bland without salt and pepper.
Needs some butter. Lois Lane is butter.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they're...
Are you okay?
I don't know. It looks like Jim Lee. It's perfectly competent. But
if you like Jim Lee and Scott Snyder, their names were on this book.
Yeah, I think too ambivalent to be a buy. It's not that it's bad, and I'm sure. I mean, there is an audience for this, but it is not us. I think
yes.
So we are double do not buys.
Yeah, if Scott Snyder and Jim Lee Dream Team makes you want to buy a comic book, then by all means,
yeah, buy this one.
I ain't buying it.
I ain't buying it.
I don't even have to.
You don't,
because I read yours.
Yeah, exactly. Batman Superman number 12 is next up. This is starting a new arc. Is written by Greg Pak, Tom Rainey, Ken Lashley doing pencils, Jamie Mendoza, Tom Rainey, and Ken Lashley on inks, Jason Wright doing colors, and Rob Lee doing letters. Which, like you say, takes a village to raise an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. This isn't bad. It's just I don't know. I don't,
it's the same exact. I have the same feelings about this one as the last book. Yeah. It's
there's a demon that is manipulating Batman and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is putting them in this alternate Earth where bad things happened. And she wants to make them alter reality. And instead, both of them do the safest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess it's an insight into their characters a little bit, but it doesn't make it mean anything when it's this when it's not their Earth. It's just like might as well just be a video game that they're playing. Like it's already happened.
So they both choose the Paragon path.
Yes. Surprise, surprise. And that's the thing. They're just reliving this alternate reality. It lacks punch. It doesn't feel like anything to me.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I can forget about this book forever. And my life is not going to be changed either way.
And honestly, without Jay Lee doing the interiors.
Yes, it's.
It really. A lot of that punch is gone. Yeah. Yeah. His moodiness helps a lot.
Yeah.
His, and, you know.
Agreed.
He's very talented, and when he's not present in this book, it doesn't feel the same. But it's not. Again, it's. I mean, it's competent, but.
If you like DC books,
you like Batman and Superman. It's another one of those.
Yeah, this is one.
So another double do not buy. Unfortunately, I was really hoping this would.
Yeah,
my main issue with this book is that it's a little too complicated. Like I don't think you need to get super complicated with Batman and Superman book.
Yeah.
Like, with multiple versions of Batman and Superman running around, all interacting with I don't... It just seems overly... Over... Whatever.
Yeah.
There. That noise, that's all you guys need to know.
Yes. It's a double bleh.
Next up is the book I want to get married to. We're jumping to Marvel. Doing Moon Knight, number 5, written by Warren Ellis, Declan Shalvey on art, Jordi Belair doing colors, and Chris Olopoulos on letters. This issue, they're all, you know, every issue of this has been kind of a standalone story, mm-hmm. and this issue is no different. This is a takeoff on The Raid, mainly, or Old Boy is a similar scene where he's just, or Dread, the recent Dread movie.
I was going to say it reminds me of the scene in, Unlock.
That too. Well, it's similar to that. It's just all those, it's one long fight scene. Wait, Moon Knight is going through an entire apartment building. Trying to get to this girl, and so he is just fighting dude after dude after dude after dude, mm-hmm. And it's awesome.
It's uncomplicated that
yes.
way.
Yes, it's very simple.
It's well done.
Well, yes,
I enjoy it. I think it's the worst issue of Moon Knight.
Really?
Yeah. It's not bad. It's just. It's kind of too simple, but that doesn't mean it isn't great. It's the worst of something that is, you know, that the standard is excellence. Yes, I love Kill, Kill, Kill guy.
There's a guy. That's super tattoo guy who just on his chest just says, Kill, Kill, Kill.
The Bart, the.
Yeah, it's just very, I love sleeves rolled up Moon Knight.
Yeah.
That's pretty, he uses his jacket to throw someone off of a balcony, and then he just rolls up his sleeves to get mm-hmm. to business, kick someone in the stomach so they vomit. That's a kind of important thing to do. But,
he's fucking some dudes up for sure.
Yeah, and the action is really well drawn, and I like the character. They've kind of imbued a lot of these little henchmen in. I love purple suit guy with knives.
And Morris Day.
Yeah, basically it's Morris Day. Yeah. He fights Morris Day, who has giant golden Bowie knives.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's not a complicated book, but I've loved every issue of this. because it is precisely that, not complicated. It is almost every issue is one idea executed very well.
Yes.
And that's not seen enough in comic books.
There's a purity and a conciseness to the storytelling that makes this work where I would even say the last two books fail. You know, I think in contrast, Ellis clearly a better storyteller. I mean, anyone that has read his work compared to his other work, clearly better. I don't really know where you go from there.
I don't know. The art's great. Xiaomi is, I really want to own some of this art. I eventually, hopefully, will. The coloring is also great.
It's pretty Geordie.
Yeah, she does. She's one of the best colorists. Declan Shelby is one of the best artists working. He's only getting probably higher acclaim because of his work on this book, which is well deserved. Next issue is the last issue of this team. Unfortunately, I'll probably still look into it afterwards to see how it goes. I don't expect it to be this good because it's difficult to keep up with this.
Yeah.
And they're all leaving. All the people on this book are Declan Shelby's leaving with Ellis, and I'm assuming Jordi Belair is also going to. It's not like she's not wanting for work. She's coloring many books, so even now. But I'm a buy on Moon Knight. This is a very good issue.
Well, you're foolish if you don't buy it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the truth.
I'm going to end up buying this book twice, so I'm going to buy the collection as soon as it comes out, for especially Warren Ellis' arc. That's a buy. Double buy. And that was not translated through our
little slob job there.
Yeah, exactly. Next up is Rocket Raccoon, number one. Eric Glass. Written,
yes, he does.
Written and drawn by Scotty Young with colors by Jean-Francois Bailo.
Why not?
Yeah. Lettering by Jeff Eckelberry. What do you think about this, Eric? This is the one book that I could not pin on what you would think about.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I'm kind of going against how I would judge. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I'm going to phrase this. I like this book. Something about it makes me think I shouldn't like it, you know, but I full on like this book.
Yeah,
it's a little too Conker's Bad Fur Day for me.
A lot of people
are you familiar with
this? A lot of people have been making that comparison, but yeah. Frankly, Scotty Young, he's well known for his children's books.
Yes,
but he honestly has done a lot of adult things, and this is not surprising that he would take it this direction. And it fits very well with his character.
I was delighted by this. I think it's a blast. It's fun. Other people have said Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Saw it on Reddit.
Thankfully, there's no diarrhea in this yet. Hopefully, there will not be.
Right.
Conker is not great art.
No.
This is a good comic. It's fun. It is dumber than a bag of hammers, but it is well aware of that.
Tongue is firmly in cheek.
Yes. It works.
Yes,
somehow. I don't know if another artist could pull it off. I don't know if another writer could pull it off. The fact that he's seeing the whole thing through, I think that's part of why it works.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, the art's really... It's Scotty Young doing a very good job.
For real.
Yeah.
It's good cartoons. I'm picky about my cartoons. There's some aspects of the style that I'm kind of irk me, but it works, you know?
Yes.
It does work. The guy can draw.
It's fun. It's a fun, it's Rocket Raccoon and Groot in hijinks. And Groot is a professional wrestler in this book. That does not hurt my feelings.
I was going to say, I'm sure that appealed to you.
It did.
He gets punched to splinters.
He does, but so you just, all Rocket has to do is just grab a little piece of him. That's Groot's left. He'll grow back up. There's even a little bit of Scott Pilgrim in this. Evil X's. But, it's wacky, kind of fun, crazy, stupid hijinks.
Yeah, it is all those things.
It's
got a fair amount of stupid.
Replacing Warfleas in our intergalactic dumb book.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can totally get behind that.
Yeah. That's a double buy. Rocket Raccoon number one. This is the second highest selling book of this year.
That doesn't surprise
because
me.
Because Loot Crate bought 100,000 copies.
Who did?
Loot Crate, that subscription service, the nerdy subscription service.
Uh-huh.
Every single person, they got a Rocket Raccoon number one. They sent one with every single, to every subscriber. They bought 100,000 copies, so it was over 300,000 sold of this book.
Good on them.
Yeah, exactly.
It almost sounds like that's just kind of a fluke, almost.
Well, you know, if even a tenth of those people go, you know, I really like this, I'll keep reading it.
Yeah.
That's 10,000 more than would be reading it before.
For sure.
Yep. So, lastly, this week, we are reading RoboCop by Boom Comics, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Carlos Magno, colors by Marissa Louise, letters by Ed Dukeshire. This is basically a direct sequel to the first film. And I am unapologetically love RoboCop, the movie. And it kind of captures the feeling of that movie very well. A lot more than that last RoboCop book we read that was...
The one that had the RoboCop-shaped hole in the fence.
RoboCop-shaped hole. Yeah. This is... it kind of has... all the criminals are awful scumbags.
At least they're not like, I'm going to be a bad guy.
No, they're...
They're not that kind of bad guy.
No.
They're just degenerates.
Exactly. Degenerates is a good word for it.
And that guy's Alan Moore.
That's what I was about to say. He does. Alan Moore with tattoos.
Yes. Alan Moore probably has tattoos.
Probably not snakes wrapped around his arms.
It'd be pretty cool. He'd probably do some pretty rad magic with them.
Yes, but this works because it's just a direct sequel to RoboCop. It's not trying to add in any of that extra crap that's in the other movies.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, look, here's stuff that happens after that movie.
It's a good, solid book. I am not a big fan of RoboCop. I mean, I don't hate it or anything. It's just kind of one of those character action movies from that time. The Predator, Alien,
yes.
What else is in this sort of genre?
Those are the big ones.
Yeah, for sure.
No, when I think 80s action movies, this is...
For sure, yeah. It's cool. I enjoyed reading this. This is some good art.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
With this artist.
Carlos Magno?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a really good job. It's really nice looking.
It's great. Reading this... It's kind of like discovering Jeff Darrow for the first time, you know, which that was a Frank Miller property, you know, when Darrow was introduced, Rusty and Big Guy, or, it was Hard Boiled. That's what this makes me think of.
Well, that makes sense.
Reading Hard Boiled for the first time. It's very similar.
It is. Yeah, it is similar, but, you know.
See the silly shit that Frank Miller comes up with and how consistent it is.
Luckily, Frank Miller's not had anything to do with this book.
Yes, it is good for all of us. This looks like it's going to be a reasonably well-crafted book.
Licensed properties are...
Usually shit.
A lot of the time, but, I mean, they're getting better because people are like, the comic companies are hiring.
Yeah.
Starting to hire good creators to work on them.
Yes.
And they can usually, most of them can make something good out of most properties.
Yes.
And so, but the last RoboCop book we read was terrible. This one is good. I really like this. I would buy this book again. I am a buy.
Yeah, I'm a buy as well. I had a blast.
Yeah, it's very good. That's a RoboCop number one. A buy! Other books came out this week, Thor: God of Thunder, kind of a bittersweet, but ending to kind of an epilogue to the last arc, where he fought the CEO of Roxxon, the evil corporation, who's also a mythical creature, a Minotaur, I believe he's a Minotaur.
CEO Minotaur.
Yeah,
huh?
He fought trolls too. Of course, he's Thor. But there also was a story in the future that involved Necker Black, the Allsword, future Thor, old Thor, with robot arm, and Galactus. And now Galactus is infected with the Necro Sword of Gore, the God Butcher. So there are some ominous portents of Butcher of Worlds. Galactus, Butcher of Worlds.
I I can't wait for the Earth to be threatened again by some giant celestial monster.
Well, this is in the far future. And Earth just got saved.
Well,
Thor just scared
me. I'm sure he'll time travel or some bullshit will happen. Who knows?
Probably. A new Black Widow came out this week. It's like a Black Widow / Winter Soldier issue, kind of a standalone issue.
Do they both pet cats?
They do not pet cats in this issue. A new Magneto book came out this week as well. It's pretty good. I liked it. Basically, Magneto is getting darker and darker and grimmer, killing more and more people in gruesomer and gruesomer ways.
There we go.
Yep, there we go. It's good, though. It works. But that fleek, the Flobby's part of the week is over.
Yep.
Sad trumpet noises.
No.
There you go. Now up is a Nerd Boy Book Club. I'm singing Eric.
You, that's what happened.
Yeah, Nerd Boy Book Club is part of the show where Eric and I will assign a longer collected work generally, and you guys can read along with us, and we'll discuss it at length. This week we're doing Phonogram, Volumes 1 and 2, which is all there is right now. 3 is in the works, eventually will come out, probably after Wicked and the Divine is done. This is by the team of Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, with, I think, Matt Wilson does colors on the second volume. The first volume does not have colors. It's not colored. I know Eric, he read this before I did. He finished reading it before I did. And he would warn me off the first volume. He's like, I don't like this. He made very clear he did not enjoy the first volume. He read the second one, thought he liked it a lot more. I read it. I want to hear why you didn't like the first volume, Eric. Break it down. Well, I'll try to explain the plot first. How about that?
That's always a reasonable place.
I think it's some of it is meant to be up for interpretation, obviously, because it's not clearly defined the rules of this world.
Yeah.
But it's set in much like in England in like the genre of like Kieran Gillen used to be a music critic. He wrote music criticism before he wrote comic books, and this is about these magical beings, people who have magic powers involving, but they're all related to like music and people's, like they gain the energy, I guess, from people enjoying music.
Yeah.
To put it as plainly as possible. And they all work under these gods or goddesses, but the main character is this guy named Cole? What's his name? David Cole. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he is a phonomancer, as they're called.
Yes.
And the goddess, one of the goddesses, comes after him, curses him, needs him to go figure out what happened to Britannia, who is another one of these beings. And cat problems.
We're having catnical difficulties.
Technical difficulty.
He is grinning like an idiot. That's from that.
Yeah. Hi, Danger. But it's exploring basically music as like almost as an environment.
Yeah.
And it's mostly centered on a genre called Britpop, which is like basically the 90s pop music, British pop music coming from the 90s for the most part.
A wave of British. Yes.
Yes.
Pop music.
Pop music.
Where else do you say it?
That's what it is. I mean, it's described in the book in various parts, basically as a, like people purposely making music that is as like radio friendly as possible. Like the rejection of new wave and punk and post punk and all that stuff that came before that was rebellious. They're being rebellious by not being rebellious. I say this because it is actually, it's kind of important. Music is very important in this book. There is a glossary at the end of this book.
There is.
About listing artists, songs from different artists, quotes from songs that most of them I am unfamiliar with because I do not know, especially this genre of music, mostly. I'm very, very unfamiliar with it. I mean, I know the stuff, like very generalization stuff for the most part. But David Cole is basically like this womanizing douchebag.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah, he's a like a. I don't know if this was after or before, like the pickup artist, the male pickup artist thing was like a thing.
I think that it was I don't know that it was an internet meme.
Yeah.
Like it is today.
No, it wasn't.
But,
This guy has a lot of those traits aside from the fact that he has magic music powers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people in this book, like he's associating with also have magic music powers in various ways, which are never, a lot of them aren't clearly defined.
It's not really set up terribly well, in my opinion.
Yeah, is that your criticism of it? I want to get to that.
That is a big part of it. Like, it doesn't feel terribly well set up, but I feel like my arguments for not liking it are more emotional and not necessarily about that it's badly crafted. It's in book one, there is not a single character I like. Okay. Even a little bit. there is nothing redeeming at all in terms of character in this story. Like every character is a pretentious shit.
Yeah.
Or a terrible person. They're all terrible people.
Yeah. But
like this is Karen Gillan's trying to show me this world that he's created, and it is a horrible world that I do not want to be a part of. That's really I spent some time in it, and I never want to visit it again.
I agree with you that these characters are unlikable. Like they're not. Unlikable. I think the most likable guy is the kind of the bro dude.
Yeah,
the guy who's
just because he's so dumb.
He's open.
Funny.
He's open about what he is. He has no illusion about. Hey, this is what I am. I'm a bro guy.
He goes to. I like in book two. He goes to. The whole thing is centered around a dance club. They're having an event where they have only women
vocals.
Only women singers. And he, like, requests Wu-Tang.
Yes.
He's amazing.
He's very dumb. But and I think he's the most likable character in this book. But
Kid with Knife is his name.
Kid with Knife, that's what it is, right.
Kid with Knife. Later he's K with K. Or KWK.
KWK. And I don't necessarily disagree with you that they're unlikable, but I still think that this guy's journey is kind of interesting. Because
I don't think it's not interesting. I just think that it's unlikable.
Well, it doesn't bother me that he's unlikable.
I think that's fine.
What it reminds me most of is Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Because Steve Zissou is, for the most part, not necessarily a likable character. He is, like, an asshole. He's arrogant. He lies all the time. He, you know, he's rude to people. But you still pull for him because of his will, and he's trying, and he doesn't understand. Like, he's not, he doesn't understand, like, a lot of this is about this guy's being pushed to find out what happened to Britannia, because eventually his identity is going to disappear. It's because, and that's rooted definitely in, like, this folklore of this book. And that in the curse, which I'm fairly certain is he gave him PMS.
I
think it fits for him. He's a misogynist, so you make him.
Yeah.
Give him that. But
I think there's a lot more that makes Steve Zissou likable. I mean, similar levels of being rapscallions, but Zissou is a much more likable character.
It doesn't help.
And I don't necessarily want to discuss the Life Aquatic. I will, but it's but this there's nothing. There's no side of him that you see that makes him redeeming, you know. Which I think that he probably should have done a lot more. But it just seems like he wanted to create this whole fantasy music is magic world, and
yes.
That in and of itself is pretentious to me, and I don't care for it.
I like it. I like what he's going for. It's a very difficult thing.
I get that
to define, and I like the audaciousness of it.
Mm.
I like that. It's a book that you don't. By the end of it, I was kind of understanding how it worked a little. At least to my understanding. I think if I asked another person, they would explain it a different way.
I don't think it was very clear until the second book. I thought it was a little I mean, I don't doubt that it was clear to him. At least it's a lot less mushy than it appears here. But I don't particularly feel like he explained it too much. You know, like
there's never a clear this is how this magic works. They allude to many things. Mm-hmm. They never make a direct. There's never like any kind of exposition dump. There's never any kind of factoid page.
Which is where it just feels. It just feels too soft to me. It just feels like it doesn't work.
What do you think about Jamie McKelvey's art in this?
Same artist in book two, right?
Yeah.
He's come a long way.
Well, yeah.
Book one is very naive. I mean, the figure drawing is pretty nice, but it's it looks like a lot of tracing almost. The same thing with the faces. It's just so, I don't know, it's simple. They all look like weird, naive tracings of photographs to me. It's not horrible art. Like these collage pages to me are the most interesting and aesthetic parts of the book, but they do kind of bug me. I think that I just have bad associations with a lot of the things that he's using as building blocks of his story. This whole 90s period of music that this guy is stuck reliving, I don't have good associations with. All the bands that he's talking about, the ones that I know of,
yes,
that are sort of making me think I understand what this movement is,
mm-hmm.
I don't care for them. This is really just a world that he's created that I don't want anything to do with. It's full of deplorable people, stuff that doesn't work. And doesn't work for me.
Do you think he made these characters deplorable intentionally?
Definitely.
Okay.
I do not think that was an accident.
Okay.
I don't think that it doesn't feel for the most part like it's badly done as much as this feels like it's exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like I'm fucking this up. It just doesn't feel like it communicates some of the ideas as clearly as it should.
I think that it's a lot. You could have easily made this like story or this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's what they're eventually doing as they make more and more content set in this universe.
Yes.
He jumps right into it. And it's very hard to get into.
Yes.
You just kind of have to go, like, try not think about things too much and just follow this character to his doing. And Jamie McKelvey's art is, like, he has obviously has gotten a lot better as an artist. Like, you look at the new Young Avengers book, and it's beautiful.
It's very good. It's clear that he hadn't quite matured into what he is.
This is some of his first work.
It looks like that. This looks like a journeyman illustrator doing a comic book. I mean, it's not bad. It tells a story very well. It's very plain in some parts, which is his style kind of lends itself to that. There's not a lot of detail within a figure.
And the fact that we'll jump to the second book in a second.
Yeah,
the coloring.
It enhances it a lot.
Yeah, it does.
He's not detailed enough really to be a strictly black and white artist.
Yeah, but this doesn't, Jamie McKelvey's really, like, some of his, I think he's most talented in is design.
Yeah.
And this book doesn't really utilize, these characters are mostly just wearing, like, suits or just kind of clothes or club clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, he did the Captain Marvel costume redesign. Miss Marvel. I think he designed her costume, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of costume redesigns. Some of them, like, he just posts ones that he thinks of.
Well, I think that you can even say that just based on the way that these panels are laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I would talk about an illustrator, you talk about the way that, like, the shapes are laid out and the panel is laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say that that's design. Like, he's got a very good sense of shapes, and that's the way his figures are drawn. They're drawn as shapes. There's not a lot of line or mass or shading or any of that. It is, I think you're really hitting the nail on the head that he is more of a design-oriented illustrator. And so I top marks for that. That's spot on for me.
I would say this is a good time to jump into the second book. The second book is totally, I mean, it has the same, set in the same universe, some of the same characters. It is totally different story than the first arc, not connected really at all.
Seems like a much simpler story, and I would say the narrative of it is better crafted as well. There's a lot of things that as you go on, you know, they might have stood out to you as being strange or something like that, and it just becomes, he's revealing things by taking you through the different characters' perspectives, and I thought that was a very good device. I liked
this one.
Book one, it's a world I don't want to be in. Book two is a world that this is starting to make sense to me. I think just the simple fact of giving me more characters to interact with, to where I can say, well, I like this character. This guy's still a shitbag. There's just more going on and enough that I can really sink my teeth into.
Yeah, each issue is told from a different character's perspective. Mm-hmm. And he's basically revealing more and more of the story as you go through each character.
Everything is a different character's perspective of
the same event,
the same or similar events that happen the same night or two.
Yeah, the same night at a particular club at this event where there are no, they only play songs with female vocalists. No male vocalists allowed. And I think it really benefits that it's more fun. That it's not as dark.
Yeah.
As the first book is, there is dark stuff in it.
Yeah.
Not avoiding that, but there's moments of levity, there's humor that you don't need to have a huge musical reference inside your head to understand.
Yes.
Like a lot of the jokes, quote unquote, from the first book are this band is in this band and this band, making you have to cross check these references and, oh, that's funny because if you know those bands, but if you don't, it means nothing.
Yes.
It's just music references. This is more universal.
Yes.
The coloring certainly helps Jamie McCovey's art a lot.
Not just that, but it also helps the mood of the book. If this was in black and white, colored the way, had like a zip tone or something going on the first book, I don't think I would enjoy it as much. It would just feel sort of meh. This does a better job of building that world and making me interested in being in it. And the parts that I like the least are the parts of David Cole.
Yeah, that dude. That same dude from the first book. I like, my favorite chapter is actually the DJs.
The DJs is a great, great chapter.
Yeah, because I think the best part about it is that it's creative in a way, because most of the panels are just them behind the turntables.
Yes.
Kind of interacting with themselves and other people. And so it doesn't, that it is creative with dialogue and, mm-hmm. and reactions and all that. It's really, and it's the funniest one. It's funny.
Yeah, they're very funny together. Their dynamic is very interesting. They crack me up every time.
Yeah, it's a male. It's a dude and a chick, and it's like they're the way they decide to play what songs, and he's kind of the go between the people, and they never talk to her. They only talk to him, and he's like always telling he like, no, I'm not playing that. No, we're not playing that. And then she ends up playing something that he said no to. So he's like, I like that song.
I think I can kind of get at something here. The why these characters nerding out over music
mm-hmm.
versus David Cole nerding out over music. These guys are sort of walking the walk. You know,
mm-hmm.
David Cole is just like the pretentious guy that you meet in the middle of the night that is like, oh, you're an idiot because you don't like this. And I'm wearing a black leather coat. And I mean, he's just such a shitbag that is an important character to this story just because there needed to be a male protagonist there.
Yeah.
It's bad. I don't know. But characters like these DJs, it feels more authentic. People, when they have a little bit more of a reason to be there. He's just a guy that likes music and it gives him magic powers.
Yeah.
If he was a musician, it would make more sense.
And I really like
the kid with knife story.
Kid with knife story. That's really good.
There's not a word in it.
No, it's. I think that there is in the first page.
Yeah.
And then but after that, it is all used like symbols and kind of crude pictograms and stuff like that. And it's he talks about how I think they explain a little bit. He's like, it relates. Like, he's trying to ask David Cole about, well, how the magic works and all. Like, he's like, isn't that how everybody does that? Like, and he they make him like a werewolf persona.
Yeah.
And he's like breaking up a fight on the streets. So yep. Fucking around with these idiots. And, he gets like a burrito or something.
Giant sandwich or something.
Yeah. And yeah. And he just goes to the bar and he's kind of a bro-y dude, but he's completely honest about it, what he is. He doesn't seem, he's not ashamed of what he is. He does break up people of like a mugging or assault or something.
He is easily one of the most likable characters.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of complexity there, but there's an honesty.
Yeah, he seems almost innocent. Like, he's just like, you know, I just do what, you know, I do what I do. I don't try and...
Yeah.
He's not mean.
Yeah.
Which the David Cole character is on occasion. What about, what's this guy?
Mr. Logos. I like him. I like how he's sort of struggling through, like, trying to sell this idea to everyone, and he basically just comes to the part where he's like, I'm giving up on this. He's killing his darling.
And he finds Los Campesinos online, who they basically are. I don't know if you've ever listened to Los Campesinos.
Mm-hmm. It's basically what he's describing.
I
did not realize that.
That's what he's doing. He's playing Los Campesinos, and that's their lyrics. Mm-hmm. And someone might get head. It's super happy, fun party music with dirty lyrics, but for the most part, which I love. Los Campesinos is very good.
Well, there you go.
So
that's a music reference that you got, and I missed.
Kim. It's all Kim. I had no idea who they were before. She went to this band.
That cat really likes music, exactly. Huh?
The cat does. I'm thinking of the You Me Dancing. That's my favorite song from there.
Okay.
You... exclamation point, me, exclamation point, dancing, exclamation point is the name of the song. It's going to be stuck in my head now just because I thought of it.
Well, there
it's
we go.
Very catchy song. But, and there is some kind of dramatic stuff in it with this girl who cuts, is a cutter,
I think she's very interesting, just because it really feels like, These young characters, that's sort of a motif of this, is these people are sort of all on their journey.
Yeah.
When we talk about, what is this character's name? Her name is something Heaven, Amanda Heaven. What was her name? Karen Heaven?
Let's see.
So, like, basically her phonomancer name is her real name with, like, an extra letter.
Laura Heaven.
Laura Heaven. Yeah. Her name is Laura Evans.
Right. Emily Astor. But yeah, the funnest characters in the chapters I enjoyed the most. But yeah, this is totally a more concise story.
Oh, I think I was trying to drive at something, wasn't I?
Yes.
I kind of want to go back to that.
I don't
know. Because I was just like that character and then completely derailed.
You were talking about the DJs, why they were fun.
No. We were talking about Laura Evans.
Laura Evans.
And Emily Astor.
Yes, they have a conversation in the bathroom.
I like the two of them together because she is, the young character really is on her journey, trying to figure out who she is.
And this one, and Emily has.
And they're very similar. She is a cutter. She used to be a cutter.
Yes.
And it's... that interaction between them is very interesting. You know, this person, she identifies herself very strongly through these people that she is just constantly, constantly, constantly quoting.
Yes.
Just sort of ad nauseum. And if she was the only character, I would find it pretentious and stupid, but it's just clear that she is a character. she is a point of view, and it's obvious that she is trying very hard to find out who she is.
Yes.
And that makes her interesting. And it's her interaction with Emily, it makes it very interesting to me.
But do you think she's sympathetic?
I think so. I sympathize for her. You know, I empathize for her. Like, young people trying to find their way, it's a tough thing for a lot of us. And, you know, I think she is, she's like a pretentious art school dropout to me. But right. At the same time, I have a lot of emotion attached to that.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting, because I would say that the theme of the first volume is David Cole trying to find his, his new identity,
yes,
quote unquote.
It not absolutely wanting, is.
But he is not sympathetic.
Yes. He's deplorable, and I don't really care what happens to him. But, I mean, I feel like that is a little bit of a failure on Karen Gilliam's part, to make him more sympathetic, or to, I don't know, to make it a little bit less miserable. Like, I think that there is a good story in there. It just doesn't quite work on that human level. Book two succeeds for that. Like, these are more human and interesting characters that I like spending time with. I do not like spending time with the characters in book one.
Well, I think it also helps that they're kind of diluted. That
yes.
You only get one issue each that
yes.
is focusing on them, and if there's a character you don't like, well...
Yep. Next issue. There's another shithead for you.
Exactly. I think it's very interesting. I would say read both of... I know Eric doesn't like the first volume. Would you still suggest people to read it?
I don't regret having read it. It did sort of... I did not enjoy it. And I don't know that I could... I don't know if I would say, here, read this, you'll enjoy it, to anyone. Unless you are like a crazy 90s music nerd, of which I am not friends with too many.
Yeah, I would say that if you are crazy 90s music nerd, that you definitely should read these books, because
yeah.
you'll probably love them, because they're full of music references that you understand and embrace.
Yes.
I would still suggest, I liked the first volume. I like the second one more. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed the first one. It's to its detriment and to its benefit that it's very audacious.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, you could try and, I don't know, they're still building this universe.
Yeah.
I understand why he went this direction instead of trying to clearly explain the rules of this, because I think that he's purposely trying to make it obscure that, you know, this is music and it's not necessarily meant to be concrete how this all works, because I don't think they know how it all works.
I think it's okay to leave some of it up to the imagination. I think you need to explain it, because it is just not well explained. Are there any of my criticisms that don't sit well with you? Because clearly you are higher on it than I am.
I think it's just tastes and emotional connections to things. I don't think it's... I understand where you're coming from, because he's certainly not likable.
No.
I just find... I don't necessarily... I know there's a book we've read where the protagonist was not likable, and I did not enjoy it for that reason. I just can't remember it right now. But certain books, I can deal with a protagonist who's not fun.
I get that. There are times where...
In this world, I would say this world is interesting enough to me that I don't need him to be likable.
By book two, the world is interesting enough. Book one, it's not appealing at all. I think it's also just not a very tidy story. There's all kinds of things that are introduced that amount to nothing. Like, who's this whole coven leader that's barely in it, just in there to say no to him or something?
I think that's, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily, I mean, this is also, both these guys, this is some of their earliest work.
Yes.
So it's clearly they're learning their craft, so to speak.
Exactly.
But I think some of it, I don't know. I don't know if it's supposed to, if it's just like a throwaway, like, hey, it's this guy who's you know, he's in control, but they never talk to him, so he's not a big part of their life, or he doesn't care about them enough. I don't know.
I think I can explain very concisely what book one feels like to me. It is the comic book that is Xerox that you buy for a dollar at the independent music store. That's what it is.
I would say it's just, it's like that with high production value.
Higher
production value. Sure.
Yeah. It is growing into something better. The singles club is
the third volume is going to concern Emily Asher is going to concern her and her alter ego, that double her split personality thing that she sees in the mirror. She sees her younger version of herself, basically. And
I think they're finally setting it up. You know, book two is setting it up right. Book one,
what I would compare this directly to,
mm-hmm.
Sandman. Where first, the first volume is
it's bad.
Yeah. And
then it starts to gel in the second volume.
Yeah.
I get that.
It's just this hasn't been around long enough for it to...
Well, it's been around for years. That first book came out in 2006.
Yes, I mean, but they've been working...
Yeah, no, clearly.
Yeah.
I get that.
But that's what I mean. Like, I don't... I think if this was 10 volumes...
Yes, it could... I will give it the potential that if there were 8 other volumes, this could shape up to be one of my favorite comics. I mean, it is not bad, and it is an interesting world. It's just... I have one book that I think is terrible and one book that I enjoyed.
Exactly.
So, you know...
Small sample size.
Yeah, that...
N equals 2.
Yeah.
So I would suggest, I would say read them both. Kind of, especially if you're a 90s or music nerd in general, or especially music if you nerds, like,
this will appeal to.
Yeah. It definitely is. The universe is constructed by music.
Yes.
The ideas of music and their aesthetic and stuff, which is, I'm interested in somewhat. I don't think I'm as interested in this stuff as Gary Gillen is.
No. No human being can be.
But anything else you want to touch on?
Not really.
We're gonna embark on a five week journey of The Walking Dead. Next week we're gonna do volumes 1 through 4 of The Walking Dead, and after that we'll do another four until we get through 20 volumes. I think they're up through 21, but I think 20 will suffice for us to get to the. I mean, it's close enough to considering how long it's been running.
It's a shitload of zombies.
And I'm really interested. I know Eric has. I've read up through most of it. Eric has only read the first couple trailers.
I'm shocked that you've read all of that much.
It's, well, when you start, you're like, wow, it's very compelling. There's a reason it's successful. It's very good.
I'm interested to see what I think about it then, because I've heard mixed things that it's just sort of dragged on too much.
Well, I'm also interested in seeing when we get towards the end, because I've read everything up to the... I've read, the last few trades, I think. Last 3 or 4 of them. Because there's so... I mean, there's so much of it. And
that's a lot.
I think that's going to inform part of our discussion.
Yeah.
About how it progresses. So, yeah. Walking Dead, 1 through 4. The Kirkman. And that'll be that. I think that'll bring us up to a close. Nice and tight.
Closing it up.
There you go.
Yeah, there I go.
We can make the actual noise.
We can. Oh, man.
There it is.
Sound effects.
Yeah.
You're a Foley artist.
McFoley?
You're a McFoley artist. I knew you were going to do that. You fucking nerd.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com. You can find us on iTunes. Search Handsome Boys Comics Hour to find us and only us. You can find us on Stitcher as well. Both of those places, please. If you like us, if you listen, please subscribe. Leave us good reviews. It really helps us get more listeners. We really appreciate every single person who would do that. We'll give you a hug if you're down with that. I mean, we're not going to force it on you. But
I'll force it on you. I'm colloquially known as the hug rapist.
That's good. I'm glad you're proud of that.
I don't know that I'm proud of it. Okay. But it's... You know, they're posters.
Okay. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/handsomevoicescomicshour. We're on Twitter at HBC Hour. You can email us
on Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher. I'll just say that again. We're on Handsome Voice Comics. You can email us at handsomevoicescomics@gmail.com. We're on Tumblr, handsomevoicescomicshour.tumblr.com. You can find me personally on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. It's MixmasterCereal. I'm also on Tumblr, that same name. Eric, where can they find you online?
Well, you can look at my portfolio. It is at freewillunlimited.com. You can see most of the things I get up to online at ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me. Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, spelled M-R, Bad Example.
So with that, folks, until next time, have a good one.
Rock and roll.